On today's episode of Locked On 76ers, they're back at it tonight against the Pacers, looking for their third win of the five-game trip. But it was the injuries that took place in Milwaukee's furious comeback that may have us talking a little bit more. Some changes maybe made down the stretch. We'll see. We'll discuss it next, why it's important. Locked On 76ers.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive up to 100% instant deposit matchup to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. What's good, D?
Not much, man. The start of a new week. 19 games left for the basketball team. An important back-to-back here against Indiana and Minnesota. So we got a lot to get to, man.
Yeah, a lot to get to.
Before we get to those things, we got to welcome everybody to Locked On 76ers. I'm Devon Givens from 97.5 The Fanatic Radio in Philadelphia, alongside my co-host and partner, Keith Pompey, from TheEnquirer.com, Sixers beat writer that he is. We thank you all for making Locked On 76ers your first listen every day. And remember, Locked On 76ers is free and available on all platforms, including right here on YouTube at Locked On 76ers. Keith, the Sixers, 41-22 after that big win over Milwaukee on Saturday night. Huge win. We'll break it all down on what took place there in the first two series here, of some important things that stood out from the injuries with PJ Tucker and Tobias Harris. They listed as questionable for this game against the Indiana Pacers. We'll give our keys to the game against the Pacers, playing on the second night of a back-to-back, traveling from Chicago back to Indiana. And we'll start off, though, Keith, with when the injuries took place, helping them come back in that game and winning. James Harden was tremendous, Joel Embiid, et cetera. But there were some lineup things that we saw in there that we may not have seen in the past, Keith, that he was forced, Doc Rivers, the head coach, to use in this one that may mean something going forward. And if you don't mind me starting on this one, it goes back to the Boston game that they lost last Saturday, where Tyrese Maxey fouls out 3 minutes and 21 seconds in the game, if you remember. PJ Tucker, as you corrected me, I said PJ Tucker was the substitution. It was really Tobias Harris while Tucker was on the floor. I didn't have a problem with Harris being on the floor. I had a problem with the Tucker part of staying on the floor and not going with Jalen McDaniels because of his athletic ability, the ability to score, because it was such a tight game and you may have needed points. The defense may not be as good as Tucker, but he might do it in a different way, and it might be as effective in a different way. Instead, Doc Rivers went with it. I'm not saying that it changed the way the game was played with how they lost, but I thought the more offensive-minded players should have been inserted. And before that, McDaniels hadn't really done anything, maybe for Doc Rivers to give him that nod over a player like P.J. Tucker, who he trusts. And it showed, though, after P.J. Tucker left the game with the calf injury, Tobias Harris left the game with the calf injury, that George Niang and Jalen McDaniels and even Paul Reed, they were inserted into the lineup to have to do things for the basketball team. And it worked out where maybe Doc Rivers wouldn't have done that before. So now going forward, he may feel a little more comfortable, specifically with Jalen McDaniels in a spot where he can go and adjust the lineup a bit. What do you make of what those things meant for the team on Saturday in that comeback, down by as much as 18, and possibly even going forward?
I mean, I think it helped out a lot. I mean, it did. But again, it's still like early. You know what I mean? I think I would like to see it a little bit more. But at the same time, it's tough because when you look at it, you know, it's weird. Like, because, you know, PJ has been playing well recently, right, down this stretch. And Tobias, you're going to close out the games with Tobias. So then it comes down to like, yo, am I going to be that guy to make these tough coaching decisions to see what we're going to do? You know, the thing, I think George benefited from being in that game because That's a team that tries to double on the Embiid and Harden. So George was getting, like, at least early on, he was getting, like, early looks. I mean, wide open looks. But that enabled him to, like, keep his man, and that enabled Harden, meaning keep his man. After he hit that three, they had to guard him. And that enabled Harden and Embiid to just attack. So right then and there, I like what I saw. But it's also one of the things where I want to see how it does, how they do that again against another quality team. But, yeah, I do think that Jalen McDaniels is showing us, you know, what he's here for. That athleticism that he showed on that the putback, you know, he hit the three. I mean, he got fouled with the three, went down there and hit three consecutive foul shots. So, yeah, I do think that, you know, one of those things where he's showing them that they can depend on him, just like Paul Reed showed against Miami, that he's someone that if he stays out of foul trouble, they can depend on as well.
Jalen McDaniels also hit a big three-pointer at the end of the third quarter where they needed those points before the third quarter came to an end and they got into the fourth. He played really well. You talked about the putback dunk. Nobody boxed him out. He crashed the glass. He finished. Same thing with those three free throws that he made after Giannis fouled him on a three-point attempt. That may not be something, again, that P.J. Tucker looks to do. And Jalen McDaniels did not have a problem at least firing it up and taking that shot. And to your point of something that you still need to see, but that's the whole point of it. We didn't exactly see it because we weren't allowed to see it. Yeah, where yeah. You relied on the other stuff of the comfortability of the veterans, which is fine. And we saw this with Brett Brown too, right, Keith? Where he would go with Amir Johnson maybe or some other backup big instead of one of the younger players. And eventually you could have used the younger, maybe more athletic, give him some opportunity player and see where it goes. And the conversations we've had about Isaiah Joe and having the conversations about Matisse Thybulle game, allowing him to get back into the rotation by seeing it. If we don't know if Jalen McDaniels can play in a big spot like that against a playoff team in a big game because he's been in Charlotte all these years. So we won't know until we see it. But that just means, again, that when you make that trade and you make that deal to go get this player, there's something there. Now let's see where it works out best. And we finally got a glimpse of where it might work out for him, for this basketball team. And then ultimately, not only to trust with his coaching staff and specifically Rivers, but also with his teammates, knowing that he can be out there in the guts of a game when it really means something.
Yeah, I mean, again.
And it's not just about Jalen McDaniels. It's the overall picture of what we've talked about before, letting some of these other players contribute to the game. That's not just the stars. It's about the team. That they came back as a team and won that one. Everybody had a hand in it. And that's, again, just seeing the head coach have belief in his players that they can get it done.
Yeah, I would agree. I agree with you 100%.
Well, listen, we got to come back and talk about some of the things that took place other than that in the game. James Harden, 17 points in the fourth quarter, right, Keith? Wasn't 17? He was tremendous in the fourth quarter. Joel Embiid, big shots, some solid defense. They put up 48 points. What really stood out to you, Keith, in that one, and why it's important for them to keep it going tonight against Indiana? An emotional win, I know it, but one in which they still have to keep this thing rolling, pick up in the win number 42 tonight against the Pacers on the second night of a back-to-back. We'll tap into that next right here, Locked On 76ers.
I'm taking Luka Doncic to score more than 26.5 points. LeBron James to have more than 7.5 rebounds once he returns. Kevin Durant to have less than 6.5 assists. And Steph Curry to get more than 3.5 three-pointers made. You know, what do you love about their game in the format of, like, Prize Picks, right? These are the things. The thing that I love about it is that what you can do is you can take 2 to 6 players, and if they will go score more or less than their Prize Picks projections, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Entries can be made within 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. And they're safe and fast withdrawals. And Prize Pick, y'all, is operational in over 30 states and in Canada. So how do you do it? You go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepick.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit matchup to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit matchup to $100.
Welcome back. Thanks for making Locked On 76ers your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast. The nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Some big games tonight, so make sure you check out the Locked On Now podcast after you listen to us. All right, Keith, that was an important win, man. I mean, they've had some big wins on the year, and they've had these tough losses over the last couple of weeks where the Miami loss, that was following the tough Saturday loss against the Boston Celtics, both at home. They go to Miami and win. They give up the 25 threes to Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving and give up 25 threes overall. I thought they did a pretty decent job defending the three-point line, although Grayson Allen went nuts in that third quarter for his 20. I thought they did a pretty good job because – Indiana had 26 points in the game before, similar to what we saw from the 25 from the Dallas Mavericks against the Sixers. So they had to do much, much better in defending that three-point line. It didn't look that way in the third because they went off and really hurt the Sixers after the Sixers were right there at halftime. But the 48-point fourth quarter, the comeback, and the way that they didn't give up, we've seen it the other way, Keith, where they would give up and the other team would make that type of run. This time they did it against, and you always talk about it, a quality opponent, a team that was on a 16-game win streak. And we saw from a variety of different ways where James Harden was going off, Tyrese Maxey was giving his points, and you talked about George Niang. We mentioned Jalen McDaniels and even Paul Reed for the minutes that he was in there. They did a really good job in this fourth quarter against Milwaukee, and they now have a 2-1 series lead on the season against this team. They have one more to play early April, mm-hmm. where they play Milwaukee in Milwaukee again. That's going to be possibly important because of the seeding, and it's the game before the Boston Celtics that they play on the second game. Not a back-to-back, but that's the second game following Milwaukee. That was important, Keith, that 48-point fourth quarter. Why was that comeback important for you, and what did it show you?
I mean, it just showed me some grit. I mean, you know, a lot of it started with, you know, I think the bench, when they started off the fourth quarter, you know, they were on the roll with the momentum. And this time, you know, the biggest takeaway from that was when the starters came in. Now, again, Harden was out there for a lot of that stuff too. But when Embiid and them came back out there, it was like, they continued. Against Dallas, it was a drop-off. Like, it was selfish basketball play, you know, lack of ball movement, turnovers, mistakes. But against this game, it's like they just came back and they continued it. So I think that was good. I mean, especially to do it on the road in a hostile environment. I mean, that showed a lot. The one thing is, though, on the negative side, I would like – the thing is, I do want them to shore up some more of that three-point perimeter defense, because whereas, you know, they were able to sustain it, but to me, it looked like Milwaukee, for what good for the Sixers, like they start trying to go to the well a little bit too much on certain players, and it just didn't work out in the fourth. But at the same time, I think that Joel hit some timely threes. You know, Maxey did what he had to do. Harden did. And then also McDaniels. I mean, when we look at it, so when we talk about the important thing was each possession, it was somebody different coming down doing something. It wasn't like we got caught up watching James and other people watching him. It was like he would swing the ball to Maxey. He would swing the ball to the Embiid. Jalen McDaniels, we're going to get you in the mix. George Niang here, here's a three. So to me, I just felt like, you know, it was great ball movement and more of a team win.
They looked like they had fun I guess, out there, even though they were down by 18 and then they started to cut into it. They believed, it seemed like, based on how they were playing, that they were going to be able to come back and, if not win it, get it close enough where we can look back and say the third quarter was their problem quarter for them, and it was their own fault. But you mentioned it. They didn't turn the ball over. And in that fourth quarter, they tighten up their defense. The Embiid switch now on Giannis. Although Giannis was able to get to the basket and finish, one thing that was happening was early on, the Sixers were keeping up with them. They were making twos while the Bucks were making threes. And that's where things separated. In that final one, it wasn't really working out that way. And while, again, Giannis was able to get his buckets, everyone else was pretty much shut off or shut down in that way. Jrue Holiday had a play. I remember he had a layup and got to the free throw line, finished and all. But they played for each other. They didn't play selfish. And we've talked about that so many times where in a game like this, you have to play team basketball. You need to be on top of it. In the first half, they did. Third quarter, not so much. The three-point line was a problem for them again, and Grayson Allen hit six of them. And it was bad, and it looked really bad. But then they turned it around, and they stopped it. They stopped the bleeding, and they gave themselves a chance, and they kept fighting, and they didn't quit. They didn't give up, and that was something that's encouraging. And now you got to fight back, Keith, and make sure that you keep that type of momentum going in the Indiana game here tonight, where you should have them a little bit of an edge because they did play on Sunday night. You had off, and while your win was emotional on Saturday, that was now 48 hours ago. By the time things tip off, or just under 48 hours ago, by the time things tip off on Monday night. So be ready, have it ready, you know, have that same type of, don't look down on your opponent and go out there and beat them and knock them off. And wasted possessions and all, we've seen so many empty trips down the floor for the Sixers. That wasn't the case in that fourth quarter where they put up their 48 points. So it was pretty good to see.
Can I add something too? And so if I'm Doc Rivers, like I'm showing that video of that fourth quarter like over and over again, because I felt like, you know, when you had Jaden in there and Jalen, I'm sorry, man, for keep calling you your brother, Dad.
That's cool.
But when you had Jalen in there and you had George Niang in there, they knew their roles. They knew their roles. And I felt like, you know, and they still got the ball. They were patient. They knew their role. They knew it was in there, and they got the ball. There was nobody, you know, upset or anything like that, or, you know, James wasn't trying to force passes or anything. Not to say that it happened before, but that's one of those things when you have star players that guys want to get the ball and they want to eat. Well, this one was, it just so happened, the ball found players at the right time, and they were, you know, playing hard and doing this. So I feel like if I'm Doc, that's the one video I got to keep showing that fourth quarter over again, because, you know, that was the best quarter that they've had in years, like best fourth quarter in like decades. So it's one of those things where it can be done, but everybody has to get that buy-in. You understand? Everybody has to get the buy-in.
Would you like to see that lineup a little bit tonight? Maxey, Harden, Embiid, Niang and McDaniels, if it calls for it, if it allows.
If it calls for it, it's just a different look at some point in the game. If we're closing out the game and Tobias is healthy, Tobias has to play.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But I mean, you know that. But yeah, I would like to see that at times. I mean, especially moving forward. I mean, you know, especially moving forward, because you'll see what you have. You know.
All right. Well, listen, man, we got to break down the game tonight. Some key matchups. Again, Indiana coming off a game last night in Chicago where they won by 3, 125-122. Second night of a back-to-back. We'll see how the Sixers fare. We need to give our keys to the game. We'll do that when we get back right here on Locked On 76ers. But for me, as we get ready to start the week off, I was just talking to one of my closest friends, and we were talking about a few things where it was – the weather is about to change. We're in the spring, and you want to make sure your body is right for not only the year, but of course, when everybody does with the spring and the summer. You want to make sure you're all set. You want to get on a routine. You want to get back into a really good pace and a really good place overall with how you feel. And sometimes the things can get away when you don't eat the right things, especially snacks. Well, if you're looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat and calories, then you got to try a Built Bar. And Built is actually healthy and tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't even think they're good for you. They're perfect for how you're approaching the spring, the summer, your body, how you feel overall. What makes Built so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. It's a favorite of mine. That's right, 100% real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. And only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 17 grams of protein. And we used to just tell you about going to Built.com, but things have changed. You can still go to Built.com. It's very reliable, and it's something that you can count on to get your Built Bars. But now you can get them at your local Walmart or even at Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Check out the pharmacy section. Grab yourself a box of Built Bars. If you can't find them, ask someone there and pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or even coconut puffs. And if you're at Sam's Club, that's a little bit closer for you. That may be better. You can get a bigger box. How about a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie, batter, and churro? It's about that time, folks. You're taking things seriously. You want to make sure that you eat right but still have a good snack that you enjoy? Try the Built Bar. You'll thank me later. All right, Keith, 29-36 it is right now for the Indiana Pacers to the Sixers, 41-22. The Sixers have won the first two games of the season, both in Philadelphia. The last two of this 4-game series will be played in Indiana with this one tonight starting. What are you looking at with this one, man? What are some key matchups that you're focusing on of them coming in and picking up another win?
You know, it's weird because I don't know if they're going to – we'll probably see some cross matches, so to speak. But the last game, I wanted to see how, you know, Harden, Halliburton thing. But it was one of those things where, you know, Halliburton wasn't really guarding Harden or vice versa. But, you know, I think, you know, the center matchup is going to be the big one. You know, like that's going to be the key. I mean, I think like the guard play, as much as they got some pretty good, you know, guys and some pretty good shooters. I think the Sixers are going to get them in that category. But I also think Embiid is going to dominate. But I really just from a fan standpoint or a guy who just likes good basketball, I want to see the center matchup. I do.
He recently had a 40-point game in mm-hmm. one of their victories too. He's been playing well, Miles Turner, getting an extension. Where all the talk about him being traded, they re-upped him, gave him an extension, keeping him with the Pacers. So he's good. Yeah, he's always an interesting matchup because he can score from the perimeter. He will work on the offensive glass. Defensively, he is really good blocking shots and all. So we'll see how it goes, how much he falls for that ball fake. From Embiid at the elbow, somewhere in that area where he likes to get that patented jump shot going, or if he tries to punish him a little bit and put him on the low block, put him through the rim and get him in foul trouble and force the reserves to come in. The matchup to your point of Halliburton and Harden with Melton not starting lately and Tyrese Maxey getting the nod, someone's going to have to defend him, Keith. So it might be James Harden. You might get that matchup that you're looking for. For me, it's not just about matchups. It's about the mindset, the approach coming in off an emotional game like Saturday. How do you follow that up? This is an inferior opponent, and you know that. But just because you beat the Milwaukee Bucks and beat them the way that you did in that comeback fashion, you can't let up against a team like Indiana because they will sting you. And it is the second night of a back-to-back. So for me, it's about the approach, the mindset that they have going into a game where they do know that they should beat this basketball team, but also understand that you want to handle your business tonight because you do have a game on Tuesday and you have to get on the plane tonight to get to Minnesota. So I want to see what the approach is like, how the game starts, how they respond to a big run by Indiana and defending that 3-point line. Because with Halliburton, Hield, and many others on this basketball team, Keith, you know they can get it going from deep also. So that's it for me, the approach, the mindset for this game. And then we also have to see, albeit right now questionable, and I know you've checked while we've been doing this, the availability of Harris and Tucker after their injuries on Saturday removed them from that game against the Bucks. If that's not available to you tonight, where do you go? Do you go McDaniels getting a nod or even George Niang in this one? Or, Keith, do they go with the three-guard lineup of Melton in there with whoever else is playing at the four? So it's going to be interesting to see. If they don't, Keith, who would you like? Let's just hypothetically say those two couldn't play tonight. Who would you like to see starting in there, please?
Niang and McDaniels.
Okay.
I mean, that's the two I would like seeing. I mean, you know, they would – yeah, I mean, I would. I mean, they may try to say, like, hey, we're going to bring De'Anthony Melton. But I think McDaniels, with his length, you know, he's a – and he could help defend. He could be a quality three for him. And then I look at Niang as a guy who can stretch the floor. I mean, you know, I would really like to see those two guys in the starting lineup.
Okay, you got it, man. Well, listen, as always, folks, we thank you for making Locked On 76ers your first listen every day. And on our next episode tomorrow, we will recap things with the Indiana Pacers and look ahead to the Minnesota Timberwolves for game two of the back-to-back. Now, make your second listen, Locked On NBA, Locked On Experts, covering the biggest stories around the league. And every Monday through Friday, less than 30 minutes is free and available wherever you get your podcast. Keith, you mind letting the good folks know where they can find us?
You can find us wherever you get your podcast at, like D said, you know, and it's free and available, so do that. But also, what you need to do is you need to listen to my man D tonight from 6 to midnight, right? From 6 p.m. to midnight, pre- and post-game show of the Sixers, right? Then also, follow my man D on Twitter at DivineG975. You can follow me on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers. And you can read my game story and observations at Enquirer.com. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Keith, as always, fun, man. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk tomorrow following this game, looking ahead to Minnesota. Thanks, man. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Peace, bro.